I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time to go blitzing around the Beltway. Grant and Danny welcoming you back. Every day, right at noon, we give you three teams in town and the latest from their locker rooms, all jam-packed into one segment. Let's get it popping with a club that just made a trade. Sua Cravens to the Denver Broncos. Fourth and fifth round picks exchanged. Washington going to move up about seven spots. And a fifth round pick coming back to the Redskins. Ben Standing of the Sports Capital covers the Skins. Ben, how'd they do in this deal?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it would be surprising if people just looked at the headlines from the combine when Gruden said they're not trading Sua Cravens. But as I wrote like 4 seconds after he said that, you really have to look at what he actually said to realize they're definitely going to trade Sua Cravens, and that's what happened today. I talked to somebody a week or so ago saying the Redskins had to, you know, if they had any expectations of getting a day two pick, that was, you know, not going to happen. So they were able to get something out of him. I think it is the wise move ultimately just to move on. I confirmed the trade. I'm still in the midst of this trying to figure out exactly that extra pick. It sounds like it may be a conditional pick into 2020, and it may be a sixth, not a fifth, but either way, they may be getting something extra beyond the pick swap.
Benjamin, what should they do in the first part of this draft? We kicked this around earlier on in the program, and Bruce hinted that they might want to trade back. Do you think they can still do that and get the impact kind of player? Because the complaint now that I think a lot of people have is they've got a lot of rank and file guys. They need some impact, especially on that defensive side of the football. What would you do with 13?
Well, I mean, look, the good thing is when you look at the draft and you figure the top four, the four quarterbacks are going, plus Saquon Barkley, Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame, and Bradley Chubb, the defensive end, you're pretty much guaranteed to get, you're obviously guaranteed to get one of the next six guys. And if you look at that group, you got Derwin James, safety, you got a couple defensive tackles in Vita Vea and Daron Payne, you got stud linebackers. So at 13, they're pretty much guaranteed to get a potentially impact defensive lineman. But that said, it's not like you're not going to find other help later in the draft. They still need offensive line help, but there's going to be a few guards and centers who go off the board later in round one. The running back situation, it'll probably start picking up again late in round one, early round two. So if they trade down, I don't necessarily think it's the worst thing in the world. That said, if you want a specific front seven impact player, you probably have to stay at 13 and grab one of those guys.
Let me go back to the news of the moment here in Sua Cravens. What type of player do we think he is? How much will he help Denver? If he does play really well there, will it look worse on the Redskins?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there will be more of the information that comes out to the whole, like, why did Sua Cravens, quote-unquote, retire? Why did he leave the team and all that and the relationship there? I don't know if I can pin this one too much on the Redskins. Simply, look, he walked away from the team and, you know, he's got to deal with his own personal stuff, and that's important to do, but he left them at the last second. I don't think part of the reason why I figured he was not coming back is that they may forgive, but they don't forget. And, you know, I think they needed to move on. In this sport in particular, if you're even thinking about hanging it up and he did enough to more than just think that, I just think the mentality is it comes into question how much do you want it, and then you factor in that they were hurt and all that. I get why they did it. And if he does well with Denver, good for him. I don't personally think this is going to be a stain on the Redskins because of how it broke down, but I've been wrong before on such things.
Benjamin, I tend to agree, though. Appreciate the time, as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, pal. There he goes. Let's talk Nationals, please, Tommy. We're doing that with Todd Dibas, Todd_Dibas. He's the managing editor of the Sports Capital. Get yourself involved. Some great DC sports coverage from this triumvirate that joins us here on the Beltway Blitz. Todd, they're supposed to get underway tomorrow. It's probably going to get rained out, but whatever. This season is going to start. Give me your general big picture outlook, your headlines for this year for this Nationals club.
I think, oddly, Danny, we start even before the games start kind of thinking, are we there yet? Everyone I've talked to expects the Nationals run away with the division once again. Philadelphia might be a little better. The Mets might be a little better. Atlanta, is not going to be much better, and Miami's a mess. So everything is aligned for them to have another division title under their belt. Basically, they need to stay healthy and kind of move forward from there.
Todd, if you were to look at the back of this rotation midway and at the end of this season, who do you think is going to be the fifth starter? Is Jeremy Hellickson going to take over for Cole soon enough? Does he stay there? Do they go and trade for someone? What do they do?
You know, Grant, I think they're just kind of buying time here. I think when they looked at Arrieta and the price point there, they decided not to do that yet. To me, what they need more is kind of a third starter by the time October arrives, someone to go behind Scherzer and Strasburg in the playoffs, and just kind of between now and basically the trade deadline, mix and match with Cole and Hellickson, if Hellickson has anything left, if Cole's numbers from last September are to believe, which I'm like you guys, I'm skeptical about that as well. The fortunate thing for the Nationals is their rotation question mark is the fifth starter. The other four guys, we have extraordinary sample sizes and pretty good ideas of what's going to happen with them.
Todd, what kind of year is Trey Turner going to have? This is interesting because he's not a great leadoff hitter in the sense he doesn't get on base as much, but he's the fastest man alive pretty much. And now they want him to pull the ball in the air but hit it to the right side on the ground. Sounds like a lot of tinkering and sort of micromanaging. What kind of year do you think he's going to have?
Yeah, I think, you know, you guys talk about lineups a lot, and anyone who deals with baseball talks about that a lot. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see where Davey Martinez puts him and handles him, right? We have that kind of idea of, is he going to be behind Adam Eaton and hit second? And then we have the issue of his on-base percentage and them thinking that he can hit for more power, and they're just not going to make him a speed-based hitter. So they do think he can hit 20 to 25 home runs. I would expect to see him more often down in the kind of 5-6-7 range than right at the top of the lineup, barring injury, of course. I think it's going to be a very interesting year for him to kind of balance out his speed with what he can do at the plate with a little more pop.
Thank you, Todd. We appreciate the time, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
Let's stick with the sports capital theme. Let's talk puck with Brian McNally. We're going to have a debut tonight, and this is a college player who just forewent his senior year at North Dakota. Tell me about the newest capital.
What's up, guys? Yes, Shane Gersich is a North Dakota player who is literally playing for that college team this time last week. His team got eliminated. He signed a contract with the Caps on Friday. He's a 2011 fifth-round pick, but has kind of kind of slowly developed, was a pretty good scorer at North Dakota. TJ Oshie has kind of taken him under his wing because he's a North Dakota guy too. So Shane Gersich, I think Barry Trotz felt like tonight was a good time to try him out just because they're playing the Rangers. They're playing a team that's out of the playoffs and also kind of experimenting with young players on their own, and they wanted to get Gersich in, and so tonight was a good chance for him to get his feet wet, make his NHL debut, and then we'll see what happens next year in training camp, but they wanted to at least get him some experience tonight.
This isn't completely abnormal. You check out the Bruins. They've got a player who's scoring just about every game right now who was in college a couple of weeks ago, but you don't see this in other sports, and you don't see it often with the Capitals. What leads to him getting to the NHL fresh out of college instead of reporting to the minors or something like that?
Yeah, Grant, he's best friends with the Vancouver Canuck forward Brock Boeser, who was for a long time this year a Rookie of the Year candidate. He got injured, so he only played about 60 games. But Boeser did this last year at North Dakota. It was his college teammate. He came out and scored a goal literally 24 hours after North Dakota was eliminated from the NCAA tournament. So this is definitely a trend in the NHL. And with Gersich, I think they've loved what they've seen from him speed-wise during summer development camp the last couple of years. And so they knew they wanted to sign him. This was a way to get him to turn pro. They gave him this will burn a year on his entry-level contract, so he's a year closer to restricted free agency. So it's a win for the player. And for the team, they get a chance to get him in the lineup and get his feet wet. And even if he starts next year at Hershey, maybe at some point he comes up and becomes a depth winger for them next season.
Brian, with Pittsburgh's loss last night, the Caps are sniffing the clinch. who should we want to face in the first round? I never make this pick anymore because last time I did, the Caps lost to that team. I'm never doing it again, but who do you think?
Okay, go with the team whose goalie can't absolutely steal a series from you. So the Columbus Blue Jackets are the hottest team in the NHL. They won a game last night. You do not want to see them drop into the fourth spot. The top wild card is the team the Caps are going to face. If that's the Devils, fine. If that's the Philadelphia Flyers, fine. I don't think the goaltending for either one of those teams is going to hold up over a seven-game series. They won't be easy series. It's not like the Caps are going to sweep or anything. But I just would trust that they could pull out that series better than a series against Columbus where Sergei Bobrovsky could literally make 45 saves a game. He doesn't have a great playoff track record, but they also go up against the Pittsburgh Penguins a lot. So maybe that has something to do with it. I would want no part of Bobrovsky or a John Tortorella coach team. He certainly has been the Caps' kryptonite here over the last couple of years. So first things first, Caps can clinch a playoff spot tonight if they win and the Flyers lose in Colorado, and they could be division champs as soon as Friday.
Brian McNally, the Sports Capital. Read his Capitals content there. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, boys.
See, Bruce Allen says the Redskins are being patient, not cheap. Which is it? We'll discuss. And more on the Sua Cravens trade next on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Sua Cravens is a Denver Bronco. Redskins pulling off a trade to send him to Denver. They move up a handful of spots in the fourth and the fifth rounds and add a fifth-round pick. This is how you have to view this trade. You've got to look at this through the lens of, and this was not the Redskins' fault necessarily, Sua Cravens basically retired at the beginning of last season. They've decided at some point along the way, even though he's coming back now, they want nothing to do with him. He was probably not going to be on their roster. So this was a completely damaged situation that you just tried to salvage for something, and you got a fifth-round pick out of it.
And you got something.
If you look at that, and this is what I said, give Bruce Allen and his staff credit because you moved up in a couple rounds and you picked up a fifth-round pick for a guy that I think may not have been on your roster anyway because your coaching staff didn't really want to work with him. I've said this on the show a bunch. I was told last year that some of the highest-ranking coaches in that building were done with him, just didn't want him around. And when that's the case, as a front office exec, they tell you that. Now you got to go move on from the guy. It's either a seventh round, a sixth round, a fifth round, or you cut the guy. They got the best of those options. If you're starting from the beginning with Sua Cravens, you drafted him in the second round. In two seasons, you've gotten very little production
from
him.
Yeah, it's a loss.
And now you trade him for a fifth round pick and moving up a couple of spots. There's nothing worth beating your chest over. This is organizationally huge picture from the beginning of his time in Washington to the end, a massive net loss. Second round picks are supposed to be controllable, cheap, impact,
starters.
Performance,
these are good players, yeah.
Starting talent. You didn't get that. They're supposed to be long-term answers. You didn't get that. They're supposed to be assets you can flip for something very helpful. You didn't really get that either. But this was a salvaged situation based on the rubble that was this situation a couple weeks ago. And I hope you can kind of discern and differentiate between those two things.
So, again, this is actually mirroring somewhat the Kirk Cousins situation, right? If you decide it's not going to work out here, you move on and you do something about it. I commend the Redskins for going to get Alex Smith. Good job. I commend the Redskins for moving on from Sua Cravens because they decided it wasn't going to work. If you don't like this trade, if you don't like this, it's because you still think that this relationship, that this player could A, have still fit and that the Redskins still could have gotten something out of them, and it's a great big waste. That's where I would probably disagree with you, just kind of going in and parsing up some of the beats and the various statements we've seen and kind of the actions therein and the stories that came out and that now kind of very telling interaction that Will Compton had during training camp with Sua Cravens that fits into the larger picture. It didn't look very good. It looked like a guy that didn't really want to be here, didn't really want to play, didn't really want to commit, didn't really want to do what was necessary despite some talent, despite some ability, despite the investment of the club. I'm sure the Redskins are partly to blame in that as well in terms of did they do everything to nurture the player? Did they take care of every one of his needs? Were they as welcoming and forthcoming as they could have been? I don't know. I wasn't there. And I think a lot of even beat reporters probably wouldn't be able to tell you every single beat that went on in terms of interactions behind the scenes. I know this. a decision was made that said, him and us, it ain't going to work. I tend to buy that explanation, just given what I've seen from the player, from various Snapchat videos to bizarre statements from his former agent to who knows what the hell else. This relationship wasn't going to fly. He wasn't going to play here. It wasn't going to help. They didn't really want him around. They didn't want his act in the building. The fact that they got something for him, to me, is a win for this team. It's not an overall win when you go back a couple years ago, and as you said very well, a second rounder that was supposed to be a linchpin of your defense.
Right.
Not only is he not that, but we're sitting here clapping our hands because you got a fifth round pick for him, basically. Given the situation, win for the Redskins.
Remember when the Redskins traded Albert Haynesworth to the Patriots for a sixth? Or Donovan McNabb to the Vikings for a sixth? To me, this is along those lines, to be honest. This is basically this is where we are now. What's it going to be? Yeah. This guy's not going to be here. This is a guy we're cutting. It's either that or we get a late-round pick. Why not the late-round pick? That's kind of how I view that. If you guys want to hop in on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines to talk Sua Cravens, you can at 800-636-1067. The Redskins have supposedly been cheap this offseason. They've been frugal. You know, they haven't spent big on any of the available players they could have. Do you think that they're being cheap or are they being patient? Because Bruce Allen is selling the idea that they are being practical, that they are being prudent, that they're being wise, that something could be coming down the pike and they're keeping their options open. Here he was on NBC Sports Washington. The other of the voices you'll hear here is J.P. Finley.
It's simply what we're doing. We put a value on every free agent, a dollar amount and a performance grade. And we're seeing where we can fill some holes through free agency. I remind you, free agency lasts through the draft.
And it's important for you guys in years past to continue to have room.
Well, yeah, I hope someone cuts a good player again. That seems to work out well for us. But our focus right now, as soon as we get away from these meetings, is to get back out there for the pro days and evaluate the college. We think this is a good draft, that we can add some good players for not only 2018, but the future.
Bruce Allen starts talking draft amid what was a conversation about free agency at the end of that. But I think you got the gist, which is, yeah, we hope someone gets cut and we can go get them. Remember, it was early April, a week from right now when they signed Donovan McNabb. It was later than that when they went and threw all the money at Josh Norman, who's the one huge splash acquisition for a ton of money that they've made over the last several seasons. That's the question, though, I want people to answer on the phones at 800-636-1067. Are they cheap or are they patient? Because there is an element of both. There's no denying that.
Right.
But you've got to kind of default to one, which is we're not spending that, or we need that money just in case. Like in my life, I am I need that money just in case guy. I don't think I'm cheap, because if I don't have a shirt to wear, let's say, on NBC Sports Washington, I'll stop at Men's Warehouse on my way there and I'll drop $65.
You're not going shirtless.
$80 on convenience, right? I will routinely, I'm at dinner, I'll pick up the tab for whoever I'm with me, like, oh, no problem. I don't think I'm cheap. But I am not going to spend big on things. I don't want to take a vacation. I don't want to upgrade anything at my house because I want that money in the bank in case I ever need it. I always just live life assuming I'm about to be fired. Something's going to go terribly wrong. I'll need liquid assets.
You're a doomsday prepper. Right. I like that.
So that's kind of how I operate. I am always imagining something else is coming down the pike. Bruce Allen's basically saying that's how the Redskins operate in free agency. I don't think that's the case. I think they look for bargains. I think they try to spend the least amount they can on players that will help them the most, which you could say is smart. But I think they avoid Dontari Poe when he's available at $8 or $9 million. I think they avoid Jonathan Hankins when he asks for 3 years and $24 million. My word I would use is frugal, not patient, which is yours.
Right. So for me, I am cheap about certain things. Like, I hate paying for parking. I hate paying for parking when
really?
I go somewhere more than anything in this world. I will circle and circle and circle. My wife doesn't care. She says, just park in the
garage.
Oh,
I go straight in the garage, and I'll drop a 20 and just be done with it.
I will circle like George Costanza concentrically outside from the front entrance of the building until I find a spot, if I had my druthers. Conversely, though, I'll spring for something really nice. I'll buy a nice suit. I'll buy a nice, you can pick it, when I need a new air conditioning unit in my house or in my condo. I didn't get the okay one. I went to Crop Metcalf and said, "Give me the biggest baddest son of
you
a gun you've got."
You spent $300 on a pocket square.
I've done that, not a pocket square specifically, but I think the point stands. So I'm cheap on some things. I'm willing to break the bank on others. they've shown the occasional propensity to want to spend big. They've done it with Josh Norman. They gave DeSean Jackson a pretty good chunk of change. But it's very rare that they'll go out of that cheap mode because they're cheap 99% of the time. What I think I'm asking for, I was trying to quantify this when we were thinking about doing this topic and putting on the rundown. What I want them to do is be willing more often, not all the time, not default to it, because defaulting to it's a disaster. We know that. But more often say, you know what? I'm about to be on television. I have no shirt. Let me go get a nice shirt. Let me go do that. Because there are certain positions where you can't look foolish, where you can't be the guy with a frumpy, wrinkled, terrible shirt on NBC Sports Washington. You got to have the nice custom piece. You got to have the cufflinks. You got to have the French cuffs. You got to have the nice spread collar. You got to have the nice look. That's the defensive lineman. They won't do that. They won't do it. They go bargain shopping all the time. I need them to do it most of the time. Because
right.
Most of the time, you don't
want to
spend...
You want them to just go buy a nice suit.
Don't break the bank on Pernell McPhee or Orlando Scandrick. If you can't get the initial first-choice guy, you don't go over your own asking price to get a slot corner that you hope doesn't play ultimately because your young kids are going to step in. I got no problem with that. I do have a problem with never spending on the big-ticket item that's going
to
help you.
Yeah, it's okay to be patient as long as at the end of all the patience, there's... something at the end of that rainbow.
They carried over salary
when
cap space.
When I'm the Goonies and I come out of the tunnel, I want to see the ship in the water. I want to see something. I want Sloth to say, hey, you guys, and swing across on the rope.
I want Chester Copperpot.
What am I doing? Great pool. Walking through, I can't believe you've seen the Goonies, this tunnel and never getting anything for it. What is waiting for me at the other end of this offseason? Is it a Josh Norman or a DeSean Jackson? Probably not. I'll bet you it's nothing. I'll bet you it's a draft class, which is going to be fun. But I'll bet you they'll roll over some free agency money going into next year.
that's what I bet. Yeah.
There's a free agency salary cap because of teams like us. Yeah, when you weren't here. Because of teams like the Redskins before you got here. That's why there's a salary cap, because of teams like the Redskins. 800-636-1067. Are the Redskins cheap and frugal, or are they being patient and prudent? That's the question on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Bruce Allen was on NBC Sports Washington this week. He was asked about what has been a patient approach in free agency. Paul Richardson got paid $40 million, 20 in guarantees, a guy that has never been a number one wide receiver. He's the only guy the Redskins have really had to dent the checkbook for, other than keeping their own. Zach Brown, 3 years and $24 million. But they didn't make any marquee additions. They haven't made any massive acquisitions. They haven't won any bidding wars for good, high-end, quality defensive talent. And he talked about their approach.
It's simply what we're doing. We put a value on every free agent, a dollar amount and a performance grade. And we're seeing where we can fill some holes through free agency. I remind you, free agency lasts through the draft.
And it's important for you guys in years past to continue to have room.
Well, yeah, I hope someone cuts a good player again. That seems to work out well for us. But our focus right now, as soon as we get away from these meetings, is to get back out there for the pro days and evaluate the college. We think this is a good draft, that we can add some good players for not only 2018, but the future.
In the draft, it's always a good draft. You can always add good players
right.
for the future. And so that can't be why you decide that you're going to do less in free agency. Randy in Fairfax thinks the Skins are being cheap. Randy, make your case for us, because we're asking on the phones, are they being frugal or are they being patient and practical?
Of course they're being cheap. Bruce Allen, for all his faults, has been around this game long enough that he knows what the market value for players are. For him to come out and say, we have a value assigned to every player and we have a grade, tells me that either A, you have no idea what the market's paying, or B, you're just lying through your teeth. And he's lying through his teeth like usual. This is in the same vein to me as that homeowner that doesn't want to admit their house isn't worth as much as they paid for it. They just don't want to spend the money. or they want to hoard it themselves. It doesn't matter. They're being cheap. They're way off market value. It comes down, and I tell you one thing. I am so glad I am not a season ticket holder anymore. For him to come out and say, we hope that somebody gets released down the road, because not only do you have to hope someone gets released, now you got to hope no one else is vying for their services because you're underpaying everybody else.
Well, that's the big problem, Randy, buddy. And it's a good phone call, is you can hope someone gets cut, and someone's probably going to. I can go to the bank right now knowing that there's going to be some real good football players released with post-June 1 designations or as you get closer to training camp. You now got to win the bidding war. Good luck.
So one of the things we always like to do is take past behavior and then try to apply it to how someone will handle something in the future, right? It's your philosophy, your ability to evaluate a certain situation. You come up with that problem again or something similar, we could try to predict how someone will give an outcome, right? Well, when's the last time the Redskins had a chance to look at the marketplace for a certain player? Is there anything high profile that comes to mind over the last, 3 years? They didn't seem to understand the marketplace 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and maybe even this past year. So the idea that they know the market, they know what the values are, seems to me maybe a bit naive. Now, they've still been able to sign some people, and I give them credit for sticking to their guns on certain offers. But at the same time, would it have killed you to convert a little bit more of what would have been a bonus money into some guaranteed money to get Muhammad Wilkerson for a one-year, $5 million deal? You couldn't have gotten close to that. Instead, you stuck to your guns. That's admirable when you don't break the bank for a guy that's not going to help you all that much. But, man, oh, man, at a certain point, don't you have to just win the auction? Don't you have to get the item and take it home with you?
I would think so. At some point, you would think that you'd like to say, here's where we break glass for emergency. We need a defensive lineman desperately. A couple came available, and we decided not to go the one-year route for $7 or $8 million on a show-me contract for Mo Wilkerson. Why? We decided not to go the one-year route, never been a bad one-year deal, for a guy like Sheldon Richardson. Whatever. Why? Now we've got Hankins. By the way, this is what Bruce Allen was talking about. We're just hoping someone comes available. Well, it happened. Jonathan Hankins got cut by the Colts when no one thought he was going to, as they changed schemes.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposedly what you're waiting for, right? You got a chance. He came to your building first, had a nice little sit-down meeting with you, and left. Then when this happens, you got to take advantage of it. Otherwise, you're just saying you're waiting for something that might happen because it's in a convenient way to say we're not going to spend what it takes to go get those guys. We got some breaking Nationals news, by the way. Want to throw you to the update desk to get this. We'll come right back and make sense of this. Second time today we've had breaking news in the last hour. First
crazy,
on the
right?
Redskins with Sua Cravens. Now some big Nats news. Here you go. Who keeps you better up to speed on the NFL than your pals Guillermo and Daniel?
Nobody.
Let's get to it. Spin you all around the National Football League. News of the day in Washington. The Broncos have added safety Sua Cravens, trading him to Denver, the Redskins. They'll pick up a fourth, a fifth round pick, swapping and moving up in those rounds from the Denver Broncos. So here's the specifics. Broncos get Cravens, move back seven spots in round four, seven spots in round five. Redskins move up in those two rounds, get a fifth rounder this year, and potentially a sixth rounder in 2020 if Denver makes the playoffs.
The NFL does good things a lot of the time. I know we beat them up a lot. We beat up Roger Goodell for various things and the bumblings of how they handle certain stuff.
Uncle Raj.
Old Raj. But they did some good things here, some rule changes. They cleaned up the catch rule as good as you can with an initial pass. It's not perfect, but it's better than it was. The only thing that's up to interpretation is the ability to have made a football move. What? Could he have? I don't know if he could have. He intended to, but he didn't at that time. Maybe he wanted to, but he should have done it, but he could have done it. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to apply that, but it's better than it was. No more going to the ground nonsense. Here's something else they've done. This is common sense. The new rule eliminates the extra point after a game-winning touchdown. So let me take you to, I guess it was New Orleans, right? Stephon Diggs catches the pass. The New Orleans Saints player just awkwardly falls down. Diggs jogs into the end zone. The Minnesota organization wins. The game is over, right? No problem. Instead of bringing everyone out of the locker room to either take a knee or kick an awkward extra point or things that affect gambling only, they've said we don't have to do that anymore. If the game ends on a touchdown, you don't have to kick the extra point. Now, if the extra point's needed, of course you still kick it. But if you don't need it, you don't kick it. Very simple.
The New York Giants have said they are not going to part with Odell Beckham because you can't give up on talent. Well, Adam Schefter says that's not quite what's going on behind the scenes. Schefter of ESPN reporting the Giants are asking for at least two first-round picks in a potential Beckham trade. The Rams have the number 23 overall pick in next month's draft, and they've apparently thrown that on the table for Beckham. But the Giants are holding out for what would be a future second first rounder. You want OBJ, you're going to have to pay him on an extension, but you're also going to have to give up a couple of number twos. They're basically asking for what you'd have to give up to get a quarterback who's been franchise tagged. That is a steep price. My guess is a first and a second would get this done. This is becoming one of the bigger, more fascinating stories of the late offseason in the NFL. Will Beckham Jr. stay with the Giants in the East?
It's the ongoing saga that keeps giving. Johnny Manziel had a workout, and teams attended it. Okay, that in and of itself isn't necessarily news, but there's been follow-up to it.
Hold on real quick. He went to a workout and a pro day for a I hate when people say that he had a workout and teams came. He threw at a pro day twice.
Well, he's meeting with teams, so it wasn't just he wasn't just the high school quarterback throwing to some receivers. This is the news item that I'm relaying here. Teams met with him, including the Patriots. People are talking about Johnny Manziel not just being
but
a
prop.
But
you understand my clarification.
I'm not really sure I care about it as much. I know that there's buzz that he may return to the NFL, including meetings with teams. I don't get to meet with teams. Dar's not meeting with teams. Thami may be behind our backs. We don't know. But there's a,
you don't
there's
have to
a,
care about it, but I just want to say, Johnny Manziel has thrown at pro days for two colleges that scouts attended while scouting college prospects, and he happened to be there. But continue.
He met with the New England Patriots. I need this stuff to stop. I need it not to happen. Mainly because I don't care about necessarily the clown show elements. If he's grown up, that's great. We're kind of glossing over an alleged pretty gruesome domestic violence incident. It's alleged. I don't know what we know here. I don't know who's been proved guilty or not. I know this. I'd like to have that thoroughly resolved and investigated and all the facts to have come out from that. I do know that, again, allegedly, the girl that he assaulted was deaf in an ear for half of a year, basically, something to that effect. I don't like that we're just sort of buzzing and it's celebrity and it's kind of fun because he has some cool zing tweets now and is saying all the right things after 6 weeks of rehab. Not necessarily a huge fan of this. I'd like all the information to come out before we start doing anything else.
You know who I always root for is Ben Watson. How familiar are you with his off-field exploits?
Not very.
So he is super engaged in the community, always involved, such an eloquent speaker, just such a good leader of people. He got a one-year contract, staying in the league, going back to New Orleans with the Saints. Watson spent 2013, 14, and 15 in New Orleans. Career best 74 catches, over 800 yards, 6 touchdowns just a couple of years ago in 15. Then he signed with the Ravens, tore his Achilles in 2016. 61 catches, 500 yards, and 4 touchdowns last year. He's 37 years old. That's about 6 years older than I would have guessed.
I feel like he's been in the league for a long time.
Expect the Saints to release Kobe Fleener at some point, according to most reports. Josh Hill is their only tight end at that point, so Watson would basically become their number two guy. These are the types of dudes that I always want on my team. Just an outstanding locker room presence, very smart, and he'll work his butt off for you. If he's healthy, he can help you a little bit. I'm a Ben Watson mark.
So this was fascinating. Again, I'm always obsessed with rule changes and different things that will change the course of a sport, the permutations therein. One of the things I've lamented, I don't know how you felt about it. I actually can't remember your opinion on this, so I'd love to get it. I hate how in the NFL, your team stinks. Let's say, for the sake of argument, you're the Browns this year. You go 4-12. You fire Hugh Jackson. You're picking from assistant coaches, and it's much harder for guys whose teams are still playing to get those jobs, right? It's much harder for a team, for an assistant from the Packers or the Steelers or the Patriots or whoever else to go and get a job while you're interviewing. The musical chairs already starts while teams are still playing and guys are basically hired, but all but fact. I think what should happen is no one gets interviewed, nobody gets hired until football is done, and then you get started. But there's off-season calendar stuff and whatever else that some people object to. That apparently was the most impassioned debate at the owners' meetings. The two sides were heated, according to Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and some of the other guys, and it's now kind of being dubbed the Josh McDaniels rule based on that. So whether a guy can be poached and hired from a contender while they're still playing or not, it's a fascinating thing. College coaches can do it. They can leave their current program before the bowl game, before their season really ends, go somewhere else. I think there should just be a moratorium on hiring, interviewing, everything until football is done, and then you can get it done.
Miami Dolphins are preparing to not land any of the best quarterbacks in this class. As of right now, they pick at number 11. That's a bad luck spot, it looks like. They'd have to move up. They feel like by the time they select, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, and Baker Mayfield will all have been taken. That there will be four quarterbacks in the top 10 going, and that they will miss out on them even though they pick 11th. What a world, by the way,
can you imagine?
We live in, where 40% of the top 10 is going to be QBs. It was only a couple of months ago we're talking about all the warts and flaws for all these guys. You thought if you're in the middle of the first round, you might get the second or third best guy in the draft. And now, unless you're picking in the top six, you may be handed the fourth guy because the other three are long gone.
It really, people overrate quarterback. But this is the thing that we kept trying to say for 3 years. And I know this part of the debate, whatever, it's over, it's put to rest. Everybody's desperate. Everyone's desperate at all time. And to not be desperate shows kind of a lack of understanding of the perspective. Does that make any sense?
Sure.
It shows a lack of the worldview of the rest of the league. You could be like the Jets, where no one will take your money. Bit of sad news. Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly is going to have cancer surgery. It looks like his battle against cancer, it is back.
It's a shame.
That is sad news. We got to meet him at the Super Bowl. I believe it was in New York, right? Where you and I
such
met him.
Such a good dude.
First time
on
the show. Could not have been a more impressive, gregarious, awesome. He asked our names.
One of my favorite interviews.
And he just, and right away, Grant, Danny, and like talked to us like we were old buddies. Just couldn't be more engaged. So thoughts with Jim Kelly as he goes through it again.
Last one I got for you on the Cowboys front. At least one person is now saying they're going to release Dez Bryant. That's Yahoo Sports' Jordan Schultz. Pretty matter-of-factly anticipating the Cowboys going to get rid of Bryant after the draft. They would save $12.5 million on this year's cap by cutting him either before June 1st with a post 6-1 designation or after June 1st. He's 29 years old. We've talked about him losing his explosion. They keep saying they don't want to have the dead cap space, $4 million the next couple of years, but they would save $12.5 million on this year's cap if they did it. And Schultz is reporting via Yahoo that he's anticipating that they will. We can ask Craig Hoffman about that at 1 o'clock. That is a Redskins opponent. He is a Redskins beat reporter for us here on The Fan. He's been in Orlando. What did he learn at the owner's meeting? Next on Grant and Danny.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.